Hey, hey, Los Angeles. I am coming to do a live event in Santa Monica on April 24th in the evening. I'm so excited to get to hang out with you again. If you want to get your tickets, they are priced to sell out. You can go to markgroves.com/Los Angeles and go get them now. And I can't wait to see you there. We're going to hang out for an evening of intimate conversation, live coaching, all that jazz. Looking forward to it.
Hello and welcome to a solo episode of the podcast. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Mark Groves, and I'm obsessed with understanding ourselves, really, understanding human behavior, the human condition, and really the information that gets revealed to us through the frictions that we have in our lives. I just think that those frictions are most often relational, and that might be the area that offers us the most motivation, love. And I really believe that it is our purpose in this lifetime to become the most realized version of ourselves, that we are meant to step into our highest potential. And, you know, there's this idea that if you don't eat everything on the table in this lifetime, you're going to have to come back. And so I think about this as a form of responsibility to step into the highest level of alignment or integrity with what I know to be true. And listen, this is how I decide to live. You don't have to live like that. And it would be beautiful if we could all attain some sort of experience where we're all just floating through life and nothing impacts us emotionally. But as that saying goes, to be in the world but not of the world, we're still in this 3D experience. And although there's lots of suggestion that this might be a simulation, in this simulation, my character, my archetype, my meat suit has defensiveness sometimes and righteousness and all the things that we do. So I want you to humanize that your reactivity is a normal response to the circumstances of life. And the purpose of life is not to go through it being regulated all the time, because you actually need to be dysregulated. You need fight, flight, freeze, fall. They serve you. You need to step into action when you need to step into action. You don't have time to be talking about feelings when you got to move. You know, you got to get shit done. So there's this healthy balance, though, of moving into activation and then back into regulation. And it is our work, I think, to get back into that space. A lot of us get stuck in the freeze state. We get stuck in the fight state. We get stuck in the fawning state, and that's people-pleasing. So just really recognizing that by learning what's behind our defensiveness or our relationship with food or our relationship with our bodies is actually usually something that is unresolved, and if we can resolve it, we can get back to regulation. Now, this gets to something I wanted to talk about. Two things. One is this quote that's really been resonating with me. It's far better to be disliked for who you are than loved for who you are not. It is far better to be disliked for who you are than loved for who you are not. So when you put on these masks and you pretend to like shit you don't like, or you silence your voice to keep the peace, you are creating love between you and another, but it's not really you. It's a representative. And if we're coming from the compassionate place, we know that your avoidance of conflict is from likely when you're younger and it wasn't safe, right? So you learn to avoid conflict to maintain connection. But in doing that, you're maintaining the sense that there is a level of respect that you're receiving or a level of safety that you're receiving. And what you're doing is trading the avoidance of external conflict. So you're trading external conflict for internal turmoil. So it's not a shock that when you look at the data of people who have been through traumatic experiences, they have higher levels of autoimmune. Right? So it makes sense that if we are constantly in a people-pleasing state and avoiding conflict, or we're easily reactive, etc., then we can't be in a state of ease and connection. The person that we are putting out into the world is not who we truly are. No one in their true essence is those things. We all crave relationships that are reciprocal. We all crave relationships where we both meet someone and are met. But how much do we spend our lives standing on the edge of a bridge, chasing other people across the other side of the shore, trying to convince them to get on the bridge? No, wrong fucking bridge. You know, there's that saying that we burn bridges that we don't know yet how to cross, but I really think that you got to burn the ones that you keep trying to fucking cross that the other person doesn't want to come across. Wrong person. And people say, well, wrong, right person, wrong time. Now, wrong time is wrong person. We like to romanticize all these things. I think we spend so much time stuck in this longing that likely is from our childhood, where there's this familiar hope and dream that a parent would be different or our parents would be different. And so we're just so used to that template in the way that we relate to people that in the act of going after that, in the act of relating, we don't know that there's an unfamiliar path. And remember, to your nervous system, different is dangerous. So there's an unfamiliar path that actually is you walking across a bridge and someone walking towards you. Imagine the ease in your body when someone crosses that bridge and meets you in the middle. The middle. Could you imagine the middle? Just breathe that in. And there's so much grief that comes with that recognition. Oh my gosh, I could have someone show up for me too. Well, not if you're constantly chasing people who don't show up for you. There is a cost to pursuing what does not desire to be pursued. There's a cost to that. And the cost is that you put yourself in literal circumstances where you are not available to someone who's available. So if you pursue people who are unavailable, one, you are unavailable, which is a hard truth, but two, you're in pursuit of them actually continues to, let's talk in more vibrational terms, you are vibrationally a match then for people who are unavailable because you keep pursuing unavailability. So what you're saying to yourself, to God, to the world, to the universe is, this is what I believe I'm a match for. And the universe goes, okay, we got you. Here's another almost match on Tinder. Here's the same cycle with your same partner that you still haven't gotten right with reality about. Here's someone who's just getting out of a relationship who you can help. Here's another circumstance where you could try to source your value in trying to save someone else or help someone else. But yet here you are holding on by a fucking thread. And so just changing to set a standard that says, if someone does not desire what I desire, they're not a match. That is a baseline requirement to be in your life as they want to be in your life. And you know that super viral conversation from Mel Robbins is like, let them be unsure, let them do whatever. And I think it's really about us, if you're on the other side of this, being like, okay, I've got to take care of me. I'm the one who has to adult this ship. I got to say what I'm here for and what I'm not here for. And that actually heals the pattern from childhood that has the longing. You're not longing for your mom and dad, although you were. You're not longing for that guy who won't text you back or your wife who won't go to therapy with you, although you are in the experience of the relationships, these are all true, but you're really longing for yourself. At the core of that is a disconnect with yourself. What is an original fracture with, let's say, a parent, could be nature, could be society, could be whatever, is actually a longing for you to be aligned with you, for your badass energy to be aligned, for your voice to be able to protect what you desire in this life. Because you can feel the vacancy in your body when you agree to something that's not aligned. When you go to pursue somebody who's not available, you could feel yourself leave your own psyche. You could feel yourself, your energy, your life force leaves you because it goes, what are we doing? And saying, can't we just be home? Can't we just build skills so that we can bring our life force with us in our body to the choices we make? Think about, on such a micro level, the foods you choose. Which ones bring you life force? Which ones don't? Think about even scrolling on social media. what brings you life force, what doesn't. There's a moment where you have to leave the presence within your own body to continue a behavior that is not helpful. Now, look, I'm not saying that you have to be black and white with everything. You have to go cold turkey with everything. There's a way to be in a healthy relationship with people and things, but not all people and not all things. And certainly it is not in its extremes where we're willing to abandon ourselves. If you're willing to abandon yourself relationally, you'll be willing to abandon yourself in your relationship to anything. So as I said at the beginning, this is about looking for where we have friction. This isn't about perfection and never making mistakes and never abandoning ourselves. But let's get back to this. You need dysregulation and you need regulation. The dysregulation, the frictions that you experience relationally, the addictions you have, the grief you have, the frustrations, the reactivity, they're all saying, what do I need to change in my life? And what do I need to heal? And if my reaction to this is not equal to what has occurred, then I likely have, not even likely, 100%, have something that is unresolved from the past that is making me hypersensitive to a circumstance that feels familiar, even though it might not be the same circumstance. The way I'm feeling is familiar, maybe not considered, not loved, not safe, not prioritized, whatever it is. So here's where I want to propose an idea. That the nervous system is the bridge between the soul and the human. And as I was thinking about this, I was like, you know what? I'm going to ask Claude, which is an AI tool. Okay, Claude en français. Okay, Claude, let's imagine that the nervous system is the bridge to the etheric. It is the bridge to the soul. If that is true, then what is the scientific evidence that supports this? So then it went through how, you know, people, when they get regulated and they're in a meditative state and they're getting into different brain waves, they feel at one with God, they experience channeling, messaging, oneness with everything, everyone. And I was like, okay, that's great. And I agree with that. And there is truth to that, right? I'm sure as you hear that, you're like, well, yeah, when I go sit beside a stream, I go meditate, even though it's hard for me to do, which doesn't it seem like everything that is ultimately nourishing to our bodies doesn't give us the same feeling in the short term versus a short trip dopamine, you know, where like if you're looking at videos and you're just getting hit with short form content versus when you go and build something, you see the progress over time. Like I was in the park the other day playing with my son and we were using twigs and building what he was calling a house for the Grinch. We're still, you know, using Christmas stuff, but hey, it's good. But so we were building a house for the Grinch and we just kept going out and searching for more twigs to build the house. Slow drip dopamine, man, like slow reward system. And so think about if the nervous system in a regulated state allows us to connect to God, soul, intuition, whatever, then what is the value of activation? Oh, fight, flight, freeze, fawn. What is the value of that? And Claude was like, great point. And I was like, man, Claude's very conversational. And we then discussed how actually if we perceive the nervous system as the doorway or the communication vehicle, then activation gets you into the states where you can get to a place of regulation. So for example, if intuitively you're walking down the street and intuitively you're like, I got to take a left here. I don't know why. Or I got to call that person. I don't know why. And then you do and something magical happens or you avoid something, right? Something that could have hurt you. That actually by listening to the activation, by listening to your defensiveness, what is actually trying to occur is you're trying to engage in a behavior to get you to a state where you feel safe and at peace. So there is brilliance to it. Your body and your system are always trying to get you to a state of stasis. And the universe is always trying to make everything better, including you. So if we can trust, because there's really the only option, although I'm going to give you two, the only options of how we might see what has happened in our lives are Everything that has occurred in my life is curriculum that is allowing me to become the best possible version of me, heal what I need to in this lifetime, and if I'm willing to say yes to all of the lessons, I can become everything I've ever desired. Or all of it is happenstance. None of it has purpose or reason. And I'm just this biological thing that breathes and has some heartbeats, and none of it's miraculous. So you can choose either of those. But I would argue that the first one really allows you to experience the very difficult challenges that life will always bring and really say, okay, I see that you're offering me to learn something. I don't like it. I don't like how it's being delivered. And, you know, I always say to people, like, request gentle lessons. Like, be clear about the gentleness of it. Because, you know, there's that saying that everything that you desire, when you wish for it, the universe will bring you everything you need to create it. So that means you got to heal all the shit that's in the way. So if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably someone who wants to create epic love. You probably want to create epic life. You probably want to have a really, you know, connected to your purpose, passions, feel alive, have vitality coursing through you. You likely want to experience fitness and longevity and build family and connection and community. Well, then doesn't it make sense that all of the things that you might do that get in the way of connection and community and the ability to repair and the ability to handle conflict, the ability to create boundaries, that you would have to figure out where you don't have those skills, that you would have to figure out what love isn't. You know, if family is a real priority to you, maybe you didn't get to experience that. And that's maybe so you could figure out how to create it, what you truly needed. And one of my favorite sayings from Francis Weller is, we spend our lives seeking a place of belonging, and at some point, we have to become the place of welcome. So you spend your life chasing someone else or other people so that you can belong. You wear the mask, you put on the facade, all in the hopes of someone finally saying, you did it, you made it, you belong. Not realizing from the quote I said at the start, it's far better to be disliked for who you are than loved for who you are not. So think about that. What have you been willing to give up for belonging within your own being? And now think about the opposite of that. What could you claim that would allow you to belong within yourself? In what ways have you exiled yourself? Some feelings you have, thoughts you have, desires you have, dreams you have, longings you have, truths you know, passions you wish you brought alive, art, speaking, maybe a podcast, whatever it is. In what ways have you denied those things? And then you seek belonging from other people, but yet you're not the place of welcome. So could you become so richly, unconditionally loving to all of the parts of you that desire a home, create that home within you, and then radiate that sense of home and unconditional love, which does not mean no standards. So a high standard, unconditionally loving, relational space where you could welcome others into their most authentic selves. That you could see the frictions of your relationships and all of that stuff in your life as invitations to learn more and become more, and then you could hold the space with other people and for other people to see life the same way. What would be possible for all of us? My gosh, so much deliciousness. So know that what you might be seeing as a flaw within your own system, why can't I just be regulated? Why can't I just get into rest and digest? Why can't I calm down? Why can't my anxiety go away? Why am I this? Why am I that? And I would invite the question and curiosity to your own being of what is the brilliance in my feeling? What is the brilliance in my state? What truths is it trying to point me to in my life that I have not resolved or turned towards or confronted? In what ways is my sympathetic activation trying to get me to a state of rest and regulation? What is it asking me to do? How do I create boundaries around the values that I hold within my being? And it is your job, not mine, not anyone else's, although we can co-create it with you. But it is your job to have your back first. It is your job to protect your being first. Your system is always asking you, am I safe to be myself? Am I safe to be me? And can I bring me to the relationships in my life? And if you can't, those relationships have to adjust. You do not have to shrink to accommodate them. But by you stepping more fully into your power and your being, you invite other people to do the same thing. And imagine if your invitation to loving you and to creating love with you is that, why don't we use our relationships to become the most powerful version of our individual selves, and then use those powerful versions of our individual selves to create epic love? Wow. What is possible when we sign up for a life like that, for level of integrity like that? Everything. Much love.
If you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking, I want to build those skills, I want to learn how to create epic love, I want to heal from a breakup, I want to heal my nervous system as I'm in the dating process so I can choose the most aligned partner to create a future with, well, I have the perfect opportunity for you. Because you're listening to the Create the Love podcast, you get to bypass the waiting list for the Create the Love community. You can go to createthelove.com/yes and get started with whichever course is most applicable to your life and the skill set you want to develop. And here's one thing I know for certain, is that great love can't wait. You have to get started right away. Your healing can't wait. So go register now at createthelove.com/yes and get started right away.